This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. Good evening to all of our faithful listeners. A big hello from Rachel. Hi to Mark.
Hello.
And Claudine, who's flying our show as per usual. Hi,
hello,
Claudine.
Hello, this is your captain speaking.
Aye, aye, captain. Can you say that?
Close enough.
Good enough, even though you wouldn't say that to a flying captain. So a big thank you to Michelle, Steph and Adam from Stand Up Straight. Thanks for your awesome show. So tonight we have some interesting topics to talk about. So definitely get involved with us tonight. If you would like to send us a text, 0427JOY949 is our texting number, or send an email to onair@joy.org.au. Or if you're listening via the app, you can just press the little contact button in the top left corner and that will do that all for you. So tonight we have a little bit of a different holy day, and Mark will be leading this one. So our holy day of the week, my awesome singing, is Holocaust. Over to you, Mark.
That's right. So yesterday was the International Holocaust Remembrance Day, which is the day designated by the United Nations to remember the estimated 6 million Jewish people, 2 million gypsies, 250,000 physically disabled or mentally unwell people, about 9,000 gay men, according to the United Nations, who were murdered by the Nazi regime in Germany during the 1930s up until 1945.
Just those facts literally just gave me shivers. It's scary.
It is scary.
No matter how many times you hear it.
It really is scary. And the scarier part is that they're actually estimations. So they're on the conservative side of estimations. So
yeah,
we're talking, those figures alone get us well over 8 million people.
Wow.
And it's a lot of people. It's an awful lot of people. So probably a better estimate in terms of, we talk about gay men, probably a lot of people would argue that we're probably talking somewhere between 10 and 15,000 gay men who were murdered by the Nazi regime during the Holocaust. So,
wow.
Yesterday was International Holocaust Remembrance Day. It's designated by the UN, and it's set on the date that Auschwitz-Birkenau extermination camp was liberated by the Soviet Army in 1945. Now, Auschwitz-Birkenau was a series of camps. It's probably the largest of the extermination camps. They're estimated somewhere beyond 1.1 million people were exterminated through Auschwitz-Birkenau.
Wow.
It's the one with the big iron gates that is fairly infamous. So yesterday was the day in 1945 that the Soviet Army arrived at Auschwitz and liberated the camp from the Nazis who were controlling it up until then.
I have a question in relation to what we're talking about later in the show. The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas film, is that based on that camp? Do you know?
I'm not sure if it's based on that camp. I'm just trying to think. It's I'm not sure actually. I shouldn't comment because I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
Which camp that was centered on. And I'm not sure. I would have thought that camp was more about where Dr. Joseph Mengele was doing his atrocities.
Yes.
Which is where a lot of children were sent. And I think that might be Birkenau, but don't quote me on that. We need to have a look at that. We might look
off
that
the record
and get back to you on that one. Interestingly, yesterday's the UN's designated day for the Jewish community. The Holocaust is remembered formally in April, May. The Jewish calendar is moves in terms of the Gregorian calendar.
Yep.
With what the day is called Yom HaShoah, which literally means the day of the catastrophe in Hebrew.
Wow.
The reason why it's pushed back into the year is that in the Jewish calendar, Monday was Tisha B'Av. I'm trying to work out which day. I think it was Tisha B'Av. No, it wasn't. It was Tushavat. Got my days mixed up. Some very poor Hebrew there.
Uh-oh.
But anyhow, which is the day of the new year of the trees. today. Ah. So it's when traditionally and certainly in Israel now, certainly Israel being in the desert, it's when you plant lots of trees. So in the Jewish world, it's considered too close to that, which is a celebration, to have a day of mourning. So yeah. Yom HaShoah is marked later in the year.
So how was that? How was that date change chosen?
You're really pushing my knowledge of Yom HaShoah. And I'm not sure why the date was chosen. We'll probably talk about it when it comes up closer to the date. It's a very controversial date in terms of it's not observed by the whole of Judaism. It's only observed by definitely the progressive and definitely the conservative or Masorti movements. Some modern Orthodox will observe it, but certainly what strict Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox do not observe Yom HaShoah. Very controversial, and there's a whole show we can probably do talking about that. But let's go back to yesterday, which is the day which has been set aside by the UN. A fairly recent date set by the UN, set in 2005, so it's a fairly recent occurrence in terms of the international calendar. The theme for this year was Holocaust with Human Dignity, and I'm just going to describe how the UN has said what this is about. So the UN says the theme links Holocaust remembrance with the founding principles of the United Nations and reaffirms faith in the dignity and worth of every person that is highlighted in the United Nations Charter, as well as the right to live free from discrimination and with equal protection under the law that is enshrined in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. The Holocaust, which resulted in the destruction of nearly two-thirds of European Jewry, remains one of the most painful reminders of the international community's failure to protect them. It is a painful one. There are lots of other examples that we can talk about, certainly before the Holocaust in Germany, and certainly there's been a lot of atrocities up until the current day. So the UN is getting about that this is reminding us.
Is there a different theme for every year, or has there been?
There has been a different theme for every year. The UN does come up with a different theme that's trying to push, but trying to highlight a different aspect of why this is considered so significant.
Yeah, and why we still remember.
And why do we still remember? It's, we're 2016, so we're, 71 years since the liberation of Auschwitz. So that's a significant amount of time. For our community, for the LGBTI community, the Holocaust Remembrance Day is a day for us to remember. As I said, the UN says 9,000. That's a fairly conservative figure. Most scholars would argue between 10,000 to 15,000 gay men.
Are there any estimates of women or other... and were, for example, transgender or other groups?
It's interesting. The Nazi regime focused on gay men. Gay women, lesbians weren't rounded up so much. Rounded up is a great term, actually. Weren't rounded up by the Nazis and sent off to extermination camps or concentration camps. In terms of transgendered people and that community, there's really not a lot of information. In fact, there's very little information on gay men. And there's certainly a lot less information about the transgendered community. That said, they possibly might have been part of the gay community that have been rounded up by the Nazis as part of this rounding up of the 10 to 15,000. And that's the number that we're talking that died. So, it's a bit hard to talk about. We're going to now listen to a song. It's the theme song from Schindler's List, sung by an Israeli artist. It has some words in Hebrew at the start of the song, and I'll just read out what they're from. It's kind of a prayer, for want of a better term, in Judaism. And the words are, the translation is, "If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I remember thee not, if I set not Jerusalem above my chiefest joy, against who said, raise it even to its very foundation." So we'll listen to this song.
and you're listening to The Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, and we're having a bit of a conversation tonight about Holocaust Remembrance Day to begin with, and we've gotten a message in from Graham, and Graham's message says it was actually quite a few more, around 25,000, and the worst bit was when the Allies liberated the camps. Many of those interned under the Pink Triangle were then interned into the civil criminal system. So we're going to have a bit of a talk more about the Pink Triangle, and Mark's going to pick us up from there.
Yeah, so Graham picks up a good point about the use of symbols to identify the different prisoners. So, as Graham says, the Pink Triangle was worn on the chest of all gay men in the concentration or extermination camps. The most common symbol that you would get for the Holocaust is, of course, the yellow Star of David, which the Jewish community were made to wear.
Yeah.
If you happen to be a gay Jew, you wore a pink triangle over a yellow star. So the way that the Nazis designated people was that the pink triangle went over the top, but then it, depending on what you were, whether you're a gypsy or other reasons why you might have been interred, that was also on your identification. So it's a fairly obvious and fairly horrific identifier.
And so were different groups of people put in different camps or in different sections? So would gay men have been put in a different place?
From what I can gather, there seems to be a little bit of that going on. I'm not so sure about the transports, the cattle rail trucks, which were used to bring people in from all parts of Nazi Germany, being, you know, most of Europe at one stage. So I'm not sure whether they were just put into those carts. The really touching part, or the bit that I find so difficult about this, is that gay men who weren't German were exterminated on arrival. So it's only the German gay men that survived the initial extermination. However, that said, they were subjected to all sorts of horrific torture, unimaginable things. It's for the gay community, unlike the Jewish community, which has had a much higher rate of survivors who have lived quite long. Like, we've still got quite a number of Holocaust survivors alive, but certainly the Jewish community has been very active in terms of collecting these testimonies and doing all of that. Whereas in terms of the gay community, a lot of these men, their testimonies weren't collected. And as Graham rightfully said, the other horrific side of the coin is, once Nazi Germany is liberated, both East and West Germany become very zealous about persecuting gays for crimes against... Now, I think there's an exact paragraph. I think it was paragraph 175, I think, is the right one. I might be quite a little bit wrong on the number. But it was really heavily persecuted. In fact, in parts of Germany, the statistics in terms of who was arrested for being gay is enormous, and entire task force were dedicated to it. So the estimation is somewhere between somewhere around 100,000 gay men were arrested in the period from 45 to 68, of which 50,000 were formally charged.
So was that a law that was introduced by Hitler's government, and that was just left in after the...
Yeah, that's right. So it's a law enacted in around 1933 by the Nazi regime. So it's part of the Hitler government's decision to do that. And then after the end of the war, it's retained in law. And then I think Stuttgart is one of the areas that was very zealous in terms of persecuting this. If you look at Germany prior to 1933, when the law changes, you're looking at an exceptionally progressive society. There were a number of gay clubs and bars, there were gay charities, there were gay press. So it was quite a happening scene. It was considered to be one of the leading sort of gay rights scenes of its time, which is quite comparable to German society up until you have Nazi Germany, the Nazi Party take control, and subsequent. It was quite a progressive society, very intellectual, we're seen as quite a world leader. So it goes from a very progressive society and then moves across into quite the far extreme, if you like.
So I think, yeah, I mean, I think the musical cabaret is sort of the most, one of the most popular, famous illustrations of that time, and it really seemed that it was quite an extreme contrast, and perhaps, I mean, it sort of pre-Nazi Germany was quite famous and celebrated by lots of artists and writers, and it's almost as if there was this, it feels like a backlash to that.
I think that's it's probably a fairly, I think that's a good summation of what possibly happened. There was a backlash. You've also seen Germany's, in terms of its financial economy, was not going so well. And so there's a bit of a backlash against these affluent progressives. And certainly the Jewish community is certainly considered to be exceptionally affluent in its day. And therefore, it was a backlash against that. And you can certainly look at history in terms of the financial retributions that needed to be made after the First World War. The sad part about the whole thing about Berlin and being quite progressive is that after the war, you not only have these laws, but people are going back to Berlin, these gay people who have managed to get out of the concentration camp, and their whole community's gone. There is no gay Berlin anymore. So they're going back to nothing. So you saw a lot of people who could got out and left, which, in the benefit of hindsight, considering how draconian the laws were up until 68 in the east and 69 in the west, was a great move. So it really decimated the Jewish community, the LGBTI community, Jewish community as well, but really, really decimated the German LGBTI community. So yesterday was the Day of International Holocaust Remembrance by the UN. Certainly a poignant day. In terms of how to market, you know, if you want to have a think about this, want to explore a little bit more, there are Holocaust museums in both Sydney and Melbourne, which are worth a look. They are primarily function for the Jewish community, but they do also acknowledge that other communities were affected. So that might be something to mark this occasion and have a think about how fortunate we are.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 every Thursday night between 8 and 9. So we've got a bit of an exciting topic to talk about tonight, but we want your input. We're talking about films that have spiritual or religious context within them, whether the film meant to or not. You'll understand what I mean in a minute about that. But make sure you let us know what your favourite films are with spiritual or religious meanings behind them. So send us a text on 0427 Joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au or use the contact button on the app and that'll do it all for you. So I wanted to start off with my mind-boggling what do you mean by whether they meant to put religious and spiritual context in the movie or not. When I was doing my research for this, I came across Groundhog Day and a Buddhist forum which said Groundhog Day is actually a message of Zen Buddhism. And so I looked into this, and if you haven't seen the film Groundhog Day, it is about a man. He has the same name as the groundhog, and I've completely forgotten what his name is, but he's a news reader / weather reporter, something for the news, and he wakes up on Groundhog Day and he goes to his boring job where he has to see whether the groundhog comes out of the ground and tells them whether it's spring or not, whether winter's over and it's now spring. And then he, you know, goes home and goes to bed, and then every day the same song is played that wakes him up. And he realizes that it's the exact same day, and he does the whole, "Excuse me, sir, what day is it?" And they're like, "Why, it's Groundhog Day." And so he goes to work, and basically he has to learn how to become grateful of his day. So the story of the Zen monk is that I do not ask about 15 days ago or 15 days hence, but what about today? And when no one answered, he answers himself. Every day is a good day. So the story is about living the same day over and over until he learns to be a nicer person, which apparently is part of the Zen teachings in Buddhism. So that's very interesting. So
is that about becoming enlightened? Is that, I think, would that be the
Buddhist? The obviously the goal in Buddhism is to become an enlightened person, and by doing so you have to appreciate every day and be a nicer person. So maybe so, next time we watch that film we'll have a new understanding or
so
new
I think
eyes.
The film, I mean, I think the film's old enough that we don't need a spoiler warning.
So oh, no.
What does he do or how does he...
Oh, look, it's been a few years since I've watched the film, but I believe he builds on his relationships with people, and, yeah, so he just does those little things, and he learns to appreciate, you know, the snow out the front of his house that he has to shovel and all of that sort of stuff. So he just, yeah, it's all the little minor things that he then grows appreciation for and learns to accept, and then... beyond accept. What's the next beyond accept? Be happy about them. I don't know what the word for that right now.
His name was Phil.
Phil, yes.
Thank you. That's really important.
And yeah, so the groundhog's name was Phil as well.
That's right.
I do remember that. See?
That's right.
The unimportant facts is what I've remembered. So we've already got some text messages through. So the movie Sister Act from John. Thanks, John. I love Sister Act and Sister Act 2. And one of my very favourite songs to sing is from Sister Act 2 and Sister Act 1. All of the songs. So if you send me musicals, you know that I'm going to love it, But, yeah, definitely Sister Act.
I remember singing some of those songs in... school. That's showing my age, but yes, that was part of our school musical performance.
Which one?
That's the one. It's the one that
happy day.
No, it's the one that starts off sounding like a hymn, but then they break out into clapping.
Are you sure it's
dancing.
Not Oh Happy Day? Because
no,
I'm pretty
I know
sure
the one. Is it Oh Hail?
It probably starts Hail Mary.
Mary Queen.
I'm sorry, it's that long ago, but yeah, I think it starts off really, really solemn and then takes off. We had to clap, and I'm not really good coordinated, so I can't clap and sing at the same time.
Oh, then you just pretend to clap and don't actually put your hands together because everybody noticed that person that doesn't clap in time. We've gotten a message through. I recognise this number. It's Paige. She never writes her name on her messages. And she said Ned, but we've been
That's the
told
groundhog.
That it's Phil. So is it Phil or is it Ned? Now we have some conflict.
I think we have to – someone has to someone watch needs it all to, again.
That too, but we need to Google this. Sonia has messaged through and said, the nasty, violent movie by Mel Gibson, the right-wing Catholic, so The Passion.
Oh.
I have seen The Passion of the Christ.
What, all of it?
Yeah, I had to. My dad's a minister, so the whole church watched it together one day. It was like at Easter.
Did you talk about it afterwards and have... debriefing? Because I think that means debriefing.
I don't remember. I was quite young when The Passion of the Christ came out. It's been at least 10 years.
I'm not sure that's something you'd show to a child.
Yeah, so that was interesting. But, like, obviously I already knew the story about Jesus and everything. It was just a lot more graphic than I expected. So that's a very real spiritual / religious film. Yes, and she's also said, and Legally Blonde. I'd be interested to know what about Legally Blonde is spiritual and religious.
Yeah, can't say. I haven't seen that one. Have you, Mark?
I've seen it, but it was some time ago, and I'm struggling to even remember the plot. So
she's a blonde ditzy girl, and she goes to law school, and she becomes a lawyer, and it's all about her... beating the odds and becoming a lawyer. Maybe it's just her spiritual journey in having self-empowerment and
believing in yourself
and her little dog, and she gets help from her nail lady, the lady that does her fingernails and toenails, and her beautician.
So there's lots of things also about, you know, not judging a book by its cover. There's all those sorts of things that come out often in religious
good moral
teachings.
Things.
Yeah, they're good
moral
things.
Teachings.
They're good moral
things. So another film that relates back to musicals being Sister Act is I am a huge fan of the movie The Prince of Egypt. And obviously, as I said, growing up with the Bible verses and whatnot, the story of Moses is a very well-known Christian story. And so The Prince of Egypt is like a Disney, I think it's Disney.
It's a well-known Jewish story too, I think.
Sorry. Also, well-known Jewish, Mark.
It probably is a Jewish story that was adopted by Christianity thereafter the fact. But we won't get caught up in the semantics of that.
I do know that there is Hebrew speaking in it, even though it's a kids' movie.
Well, it is the Book of Exodus.
Yes.
Okay. Which is part of the Torah.
There you go. Fun facts that I'm even learning tonight. So, The Prince of Egypt is like the cartoon musicalized version, and I still think it's relevant for kids to watch today. It's just, it's a feel-good movie with really beautiful songs in it.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, where we've been talking about some of our favourite films with spiritual or religious themes. Some of them explicit or obvious, and some less so. And people have been texting in with their favourite films. Someone's mentioned the Harry Potter films and books, I suppose, which were condemned by the Vatican. Well, we could do a whole show about things that have been condemned by the Vatican or other religious authorities. But I remember that there was, well, the Harry Potter series, which went out, the books were published over more than 10 years. And I think there was a bit of questioning at the start about, J.K. Rowling was known for being a Christian, but there was this question of how religious it was and whether it was, say, an allegorical treatment of Christ. And so it wasn't revealed, again, spoilers for a really old film series, it wasn't revealed until the final book that, yes, there was actually a very much a Christian journey kind of theme, and that there was,
really?
you could draw parallels between Harry and Christ. He actually he dies and comes back. Spoilers.
Maybe again, That'll give me a reason to watch it finally after all these years.
Well, Rachel, you were saying, I saw you say on Facebook that you hadn't watched anything with Alan Rickman in it.
But and then I was corrected, and I have seen a few things like Love Actually and that, you know, Alice in Wonderland.
It's hard to avoid Alan.
Well, Love Actually has got a religious theme to it. It's a Christmas film.
Well, there's a whole separate genre of Christmas films.
And apparently Alice in Wonderland, in my research, came up. I didn't really look into it because I was just like, really? But apparently it has some spiritual themes to it, but won't go into
Lewis Carroll was an Anglican minister.
There you go. So perfect reason.
But yeah, he was also a mathematician. He was lots of things. I don't remember the religious aspects of Alice in Wonderland, but again, somebody else may.
Maybe it's Alice's spiritual journey.
I think, yeah, journeys and transformations are a pretty common theme. And just briefly mention, while we're talking about Alan Rickman, one of my favourite actors ever, that another film that's got a very different approach to religion is Dogma by Kevin Smith. So he's a man who made Clerks and various other quirky comedies. But it's about a few things, but there's a woman who turns out to be the last known living relative of Christ, and there's stuff about sacrifice and redemption in there. But it's funny because Alanis Morissette plays God, and she doesn't talk or sing or make much. Say much. So it's an interesting casting. And Alan Rickman plays the angel Metatron, who is the messenger of God. So he says something like, well, any guy who says that he's spoken to God, actually he's spoken to me. But which seems appropriate because Alan Rickman had a very distinctive voice. I've been rambling about Alan Rickman for a long time.
That's okay. I know that there's a lot of movies about people who are God. Obviously, Bruce Almighty, Evan Almighty. There's at least 10, I would say, that God gives his powers to a human person and lets you work out for yourself how it's not so simple being God. They're good ones.
They are. The obvious one, I suppose, that we probably should talk about is The Life of Brian.
You're not.
You listen here. He's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy.
That's hilarious. hilarious. I was just about to say that, and then you played it. Oh, I didn't know. I wasn't in on the on that.
Here's one I prepared earlier.
So he was a very naughty boy. It's part of the Monty Python series, and Monty Python are not adverse at poking a bit of fun at religion, and making some statements about what you could make of things and how you could differently interpret the stories that are presented in religious texts.
And interesting to note that the part of Brian, who's the mistaken Messiah, part of Brian is played by Graham Chapman, who was one of the earliest people to come out as gay in the entertainment industry. So,
Fun facts.
There's another fact for Joy listeners.
Well, this has been such an interesting topic as well. And if you have more movies, more films, or TV shows even, that maybe have spiritual context and themes to them, definitely send us a message or jump on our Facebook page or even on our Twitter and let us know if you would like to talk about this some more. It would be
It's certainly a topic that we could come back to.
I feel like we could talk about this for 2 hours, just like Michelle said in the Stand Up Straight before us. She said that she could talk about their topic for 2 hours. Well, we could talk about this topic for 2 hours, Michelle.
Certainly. And when we were thinking about this topic, obviously The Life of Brian was the first one that came to me. But the second film that came to me is the South Park film. So
I see a bit of a theme going on with you, Mark.
Theme. We're not going to play any clips from the South Park film. It's actually in the Guinness Book of Records for the most profanities.
So I know there's a rule about what you can do after 8 o'clock, but I still felt that this was more like 10 o'clock then.
It is more of a 10 o'clock thing. So there is a profanity or an act of violence every 6 seconds in the film. It is an adults-only film, so be aware. But interestingly, from a religious point of view, the film is about Satan.
Aha!
Satan is one of the main characters in the film. It actually presents, in a very South Park style, it presents a different face of Satan. So Satan is seen as quite a different character to this very big, bad, mean person. The film is poking a lot of fun at a lot of different things, but it's very interesting. It's also very interesting if you look at it in terms of, you know, we're talking early on about International Holocaust Remembrance Day. We talk about how the film plays against Canadians. So if you haven't seen the film, part of the story goes that the Canadians are responsible for children learning swear words. It's quite a long way to explain it, but I'm not going to go into it. It's a very short film, so you can watch it very quickly. But if you look at the way Canadians are portrayed in the film, it is very much about there's a couple of Canadians who are actually in South Park, and they're considered the enemy within. And then the film portrays it as this great big mass of people just over the border who want to take over America. And so one of the catchy songs, it's also poking a bit of fun at musicals. So there's a very catchy tune called Blame Canada. It's very funny, but it is very adult. So it's,
well, I'm a fan of musicals.
It's certainly not a lighthearted piece, but it does make...
It is lighthearted, but it's big themes. I mean, it's musically, it's very sort of catchy sing-along stuff, but...
It's very deliberately designed to have a go at the Disney... And the Disney franchise, it's not made by Disney, but it's certainly having a go at them. It also has a go at musicals. There's a great piece called La Resistance. It's having a poke at musicals, certainly. Les Mis is the musical they've got there. And it's very interesting. The piece of music that goes with this La Renaissance is very much about God. It's talking about God not being there, and it's a very and watching over you, and it's very, like, there's lots of religious themes. It is South Park, though, so the South Park franchise is deliberately having a poke at more so about censorship than anything, but it plays on a lot of religious themes and picks up that. It's quite an interesting film, but not one for the kids, I'm afraid.
Fascinating. You're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. Tonight we've had some pretty cool conversations about film and spirituality and religion in film, as well as having a bit of a deep and meaningful about Holocaust Remembrance Day. I've got educated on the film that I chose to being actually a Jewish film, would you say?
Well, it's based
on a Jewish story.
On a Jewish story that was adopted by Christianity. Don't forget that Christianity and Islam comes out of the Jewish...
Comes out
of Judaism, and certainly it's not...
Well, Jesus was a Jew, so...
Jesus was a Jew, and goes in its own way, and that's fine. But yeah, it certainly was. I just, you know, I think of... We're talking about, you know, the life of Brian, and one of my first memories, when I first moved to Melbourne, the first weekend I was here, I flooded my apartment. And I can remember sitting there thinking... waiting for the insurance company to come and start pumping the water out. And I actually watched The Life of Brian sitting on my sofa because the power board was up out of the way. And that's what I actually did to pass the time waiting for the insurance because, you know, as the song says, you know, as one of the songs from the film says, you know, always look on the bright side of life. And what else could I do? So, yeah.
So we'll be hearing from The Life of Brian after a couple of messages. But until then, it's... good night from the gang at the Spirit Lounge. Good night from myself, Claudine.
Good night from Rachel.
And good night from Mark.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.